AI and his brain will try.
I know, right? I fear change. It took us 8 years to actually get to a recorded podcast where now if one of us goes away, we can pre-record the episode. I mean,
yes.
Does the world know about this technology? Because it's fascinating.
Apparently.
They do.
Apparently. Damn. All right, I hit record. Obviously I'll edit it at some point, but you know, I don't know. However you guys want to start. So I guess I'll say, hold on.
I'm not used
to this shit, man.
Wait,
it's so
are we
weird.
Doing it? Are we doing an episode right now?
Yeah, we're just gonna chat for 15 minutes.
All right, I thought we were just gonna do a test run, but
yeah,
you know, let's start grilling Riley. You know, What does he know? When did he know it? And how many government officials are involved? Go, Riley, now.
Exactly.
12.
I knew it. Don't wait for the translation. Yeah, all right.
I figured we'd just get a little update of the Pomona Super Show. Did I even say that right? Pomona Super
probably,
Show? Yeah.
Probably not, but yeah. Let's just ride with it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and next. In January, they're going to have it at the Anaheim Convention Center, so it'll be in an even bigger spot. And traditionally, there are a series of buildings at Pomona location, and they'll do the January show in the big one, and then the August one in the original one, which is a bit smaller. And so that's where it was today, but it certainly or this weekend, but it doesn't feel small. It's pretty packed. So it's you know, arguably the biggest show in California. And it's only growing and getting bigger each time. So each time there's more to see, new vendors, a lot of the longtime supporters. So you get Zilla and ZoomEd and Exoterra and Timberline, some of the big corporate sponsors. And then you've got a few like local California shops, and then there's Triple L and a couple like hard goods vendors, and then you have all the local breeders, and then a bunch of people even from out of state are starting to venture out this way. And it's just it's heavy in the ball python stuff a little bit, but gosh, there's a ton of variety there, and you could spend days just cruising around and seeing new stuff. It's cool.
It almost seems like we're getting these kind of corner things going where we have Daytona, we have Tinley, we have Pomona, and then we have Arlington, and it just kind of sucks that there's nothing really up in the Northeast that would kind of rival some of these really, really big shows, because it's almost like I don't want to have to travel to go do all this stuff, but these really cool these really cool big shows are I mean, Daytona I think is not the creature it used to be. Tinley is ever growing. I hear good things about Arlington, but if the Pomona and Anaheim are going to keep getting bigger and bigger, like, do you think that's eventually just going to be the show? Because I heard that people really like Daytona was because you could go to the show and then you could hit the beach, or you could go to the show and you can hang out and have all this kind of cool fun and stuff in and around Daytona. So, I mean, do you think maybe that's going to be one of the things that happens with Anaheim, Pomona, kind of stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. So far, what I'm seeing is there are people who look forward to it each time for both of them all year. It's usually, you know, a good time to catch up with folks that you only see at those shows. So it's really one massive, like, hangout party get-together, and it's as fun as you make it. And a lot of people take the opportunity to go herping out in the desert, kind of not too far by. Like Ryan McVeigh likes taking people further south and inland and going herping out night, especially after the San Diego show. They did that. Mm-hmm. But he knows tons of spots out here. So some folks make it a whole thing. Like Dave Kaufman comes out and he hangs out and he films, but he also, you know, makes arrangements to see other people's collections and go herping with Ryan and just whatever. And a lot of people even double it up and make it a trip to go out and see prehistoric pets over in Fountain Valley, which is, you know, like 20, 30 minutes away. It's not super far.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty to do, plenty of food. You know, there's all sorts of good stuff around the area, so you can find the nightlife. Or what a lot of us end up doing is, because it's currently attached to the Sheridan Hotel there, Everybody just stays at the Sheraton because they get slightly discounted rates, and then they just destroy the bar all night long till they kick us out, and then it's just an absolute party in the hotel the whole time. It gets pretty freaking wild.
Bradley, you have not been to Tinley Park, correct?
Correct.
You goddamn! I mean, like, how can he be an official part of the NPR if he's never? I mean,
he's the West Coast side, man. What are you?
All right, he's like that embedded agent or whatever, the field reporter. We have him out where we don't want to go. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. All right.
One of these days, I'll get out there. It's on my reptile bucket list to venture out there and still see Daytona, even though it sounds like its prime has.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's there's some people who kind of cling to Daytona that it's still awesome. I enjoyed it. It just, I was expecting more, to be honest with you. I mean,
sure.
The problem is that, you know, I've been ruined by Tinley Park, and I imagine I keep holding it as the standard for all really big reptile shows. And so far, no one has unhorsed it, so we'll see. And you're not allowed to go to Tinley unless it's a year that Eric and I are actually going to go to Tinley, because
okay,
apparently that's all up in the air from now till eternity, because Eric will be, you know, where in the world is Eric Burke? Yeah.
Forever so. Field herping.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm addicted, man. I'm addicted. We're going to look for copperheads tomorrow. Can't wait. Should be pretty
nice.
Cool.
What the? Yeah, I can't quit. He's already up. I can't leave work. He's already upset I'm leaving. So, you know.
I kind of figured you couldn't get off, so I didn't even bother.
He's such an asshole. But, all right.
So what were some of the cool things you saw over there at the show?
Exactly.
Well, Pet Kingdom, the spot down in San Diego, they do a really good job of setting up a big booth with a ton of, like, nice variety, like some pretty cool monitors and tortoises and a lot of unique snakes, but there were some Galapagos tortoises there this year, some like 6-inchers that were,
get the hell out of here.
They were just shy of $9,000.
But you need a class one permit, don't you?
Yeah, so California, with those species, they have to be purchased and sold within their state, so that you can't buy or sell across state lines into California, so like a Nevada vendor can't bring them across and sell them here. So there are restrictions like that. California right. seems to, the only things that California shakes its fingers at are exotic venomous and anything native to the state, unless it's like an albino or something crazy like that, then they don't quite care. But otherwise, if you're going to work with anything native, you have to have a fishing license and a captive bred wildlife permit if you're going to propagate and sell. Otherwise, if you happen to have these animals under the appropriate fishing license, you can gift them should you accidentally breed them or things like that. But otherwise, yeah, it's pretty weird. They regulate things quite differently.
Pennsylvania, but, it's a free-for-all. But
yeah. There's good and bad to both sides of it, of course. But
yeah,
there's tons of chameleon breeders, like a lot of really good chameleons out here. There's a lot of dart frog folks, some local, and Josh's Frogs comes out from the East Coast. And then Daniel Solis, who does the Reptile Factory and Jungle Diaries and a lot of these herping expeditions nowadays, he's really big into Super Dwarf Retic stuff, and there'll be an interview coming out with him and Brian on the Triple B channel that he has at some point once he gets it all edited and it gets in line with everything else.
That's cool.
Yeah, that'll be a really cool one. I think all the Super Dwarf and Retic guys will get quite a tickle off that one. But he has 3 shops in Southern California under the name Reptile Factory, and they get a lot of local breeder stock, but then they also get a lot of import stuff from Dan Maleri and a few other people. And so they always have like the various tree monitors, and quince monitors, and they've had monkey tails and frill blizzards and kind of the obscure stuff and everything in between. Dan Maleri is local out here. He's down in Long Beach, so he always makes it to that show. And I always make it a point to go see his table and chat with him and grab an IJ or two. And, And then this time he brought a 2-year-old bowling eye female that just was amazing, just beautiful. And I got to film her pretty close up for a while with Brian. And then he brought a pair of Apodora that were like 10 feet long. So they were well started, and I couldn't stop staring at them.
And you didn't pull the trigger.
Dude, I literally physically and financially could not.
But it's you guys who are obsessed with everything Papuan, and this is something that is actually named the Papuan Python. I mean, it's like, isn't that like your, I don't know, God? It's like, isn't that the top of it? The top of the all Darksiders?
Yeah, I mean, the beautiful thing about not having money in your account is you don't have money in your account, so you can't spend that money.
That is true. You are correct.
See how easy it is?
And then, of course, Todd Dyer's out here, so he always has a great display.
There were some... I didn't see any of his caramel tires except for the one that you picture of the one you sent us, but I heard tell that they were in rare form, and thank God I didn't see them. I'd be like, Riley, just go get that one. Just put it, I will PayPal you the money. Just give it to me. So thank God.
I guess I shouldn't tell you how much they cost at the show.
No, you should.
Todd's a grand wizard when it comes to shows. He knows what market value is, and he throws that out the window when he's at the shows because he likes to see what sort of random tricks will end up, you know, lining up the Yahtzee dice, so to speak. And he had caramel tigers on the table for $250 for a female, $200 for, I mean, it was stupid.
What?
I was saying before the show, like, what, like, I don't know. How do you price? I think it was some kind of crazy double het snow zebra. Something.
The super zebra double het snow.
Yeah.
But what the hell is like? All right, so let's make snow super zebras. What's it going to look like? Oh, it's a white pinkish snake.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, but like the price.
I think that's why he priced it low, because like nobody's going to buy it if it's high end, because you know it's just such a niche thing.
Yeah.
Right. You have to be one of those guys that is obsessed with having an all white carpet python. And, you know, again, mm-hmm. we're going to start running into the things where, you know, okay, so I make a snow super zebra, but is it going to be any different from a snow super zebra jag? I mean, like eventually you're just going to keep getting shit that turns out to be a white snake. I mean, yeah. Any kind of albino or snow super zebra, who does know?
Well, I was telling Owen before the show, I have to make a little quick, would it be an announcement? No, I don't know if it would be an announcement. It's not quite that level, but anyway,
a disclaimer.
Yeah, maybe. I do love my morphs, and I'm sorry for my morph guys out there, but it was pretty cool to have a season with no morphs. Like, not trying to figure out what's what. What is this? You know, then you got things that, you know, are maybe produced for the first time. So then you have no idea. You have no clue what it is. And then you think you have a clue what it is. And somebody that hatched it out probably over in Europe then gets in touch with you and it tells you that, no, that's not that. You know, and you're like, damn it. Damn it.
No. Everything you just said is wrong. Oh,
or you have the opposite problem where you contact the people that you think probably already produced this, and they're like, I got nothing for you, man.
That's the thing. Like, you've been like, I've been with Eric, and he's like, well, ask him what he prices this at. I'm like, I did. He said, I don't know. What do you do? And I'm like, well, this is a circle of nothing's going to get done here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it just, that's what happens. So, I'm more along the lines of, I would love to just produce the animal and be like, here's what it is. It's an olive python. Want to know how I know? It's mom and dad are olive pythons. And that's what makes this an olive python.
Right.
There ain't genetics? Nope. It's an olive python. Like, that's it. Yeah. That's all I want anymore. And there was some cool stuff there beside morphs. And I see all glimpses of them, but nobody really focused in on them. And those were the Mexican indigos.
Yeah.
And
dude.
For those people who don't know what a Mexican indigo is, it is a silver and black Caribou. And I mean, oh my God.
Yeah. You would have to stay away from John Michael's booth, Black Pearl, because
Black Pearl is
he had the full spread and he brings adult stew for you to gawk at. And then yes. You see whatever babies he's got left before they're gone. And like, so he had unicolors and blacktails and yellowtails and the Texas and the Mexican and the Easterns. He had all of them there. Plus he also had some Spilotes on the table and a few other things. And then babies, of course. Mm-hmm. It was nuts. The Rubidus babies were just insane.
I've been on his website. It is a gorgeous website. And he's the kind of guy where like he devoted himself to these things and it shows. But I mean, oh my God, I think last time I checked, the Mexican indigos are like 15 each. And I'm like, I can't do
yep.
that. I can't.
That's exactly what they are.
I want to, but I can't. And it's
they're $1,500 a piece.
$1,500
yep. a piece. Yep.
No shit.
I know, dude, but they're gorgeous.
Well, and the demand is skyrocketing for everything Dry Marcon, so they're all flying off the shelves at his top price, and we're sitting there going, dude, I think you need to raise prices, and I'm looking at breeding my blacktails this coming season, and he's telling me what he's thinking he's going to start pricing his blacktails at because he sells them out too quickly. He's like, I need to ask more for them because I can't hold on to them long enough. Like, so... Get them while you can, because the price is going up.
And I'm looking at, I got a trio of unicolor, and I've been looking at the prices that you get for those kind of things. And I mean, like, yeah, this is just the way it's going to end up being, is that this is one of those circular things where not a lot of people were working with Caribou, and now they're kind of becoming more and more popular as people kind of fall into the really big colubrid thing. So, yeah, I mean, totally. Yeah. I could totally see them going for two. I don't know why, like 15, 2 to 15 is what I would probably be at.
And, you know, the whole Mexican black kingsnake craze is on fire right now.
Yep.
I think that bubble might finally be bursting and leveling out a little bit because there are a few people who are still trying to hold on to every last thread of overpricing it and charging like $300 or whatever.
For a Mexican black
or
kingsnake.
Even more.
Yeah.
And then TSK sets up their booth, and it's all ball pythons and a few chondros, and then they have an entire 8-foot table of like 4 or 5 clutches of straight MBKs, and they're all 150, all of them.
Oh my God!
Wow!
I'm pretty sure grabbing two of those.
One of those things.
Well, and then that's the thing is that people look at it this way. Exactly. So people are going to run over and they're going to buy a pair or a trio at 150, and it's like they're going to buy them, and then they kind of look over there at the other ones that are $300-$400 a piece, and they think they're going to be in the money in a couple of years. But by then, the prices are going to downturn. So, you know, I think in a couple of years, there's going to be we're going to be flooded with MBKs, like adults, juveniles.
They're going to go back down to $60.
Yeah. See, and I don't know why they spiked.
When you guys say that a snake is expensive and you tell me it's $300, I'm just like, wait, what?
Expensive for a colubrid.
That's the high-end line of it? I mean, you know, I don't know. It just seems...
Well, dude, it's like we're not talking about... The funny thing is that a lot of times with colubrids, they crash so damn hard. Like, I remember palmettos... At the one Tinley, they're like $2,200. Mm-hmm. And then I think we went to the next Tinley and they were like $500. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, they dropped.
So that's what happens. The problem is corn snakes breed like crazy and they can double clutch. So, you know, it almost takes like you almost have to weather the burnout and then continue breeding and refining it and then get it back on the upswing when everybody else has moved on to the next thing.
Yeah, I get it, man. It's like a solid black snake. I mean, what's not to love? And it's like, you know, like really
but
solid black.
But they've been around forever, and all of a sudden they were just like, oh, my God, and it just went straight up. And I'm like, why? It's not like this is a new thing. This isn't like MBKs were always like you found a few and they were $60 each. But then for like 2-3 years, they went up to like $400. And it's like, but why?
I often wonder. I often wonder if podcasts affect that. Like, I wonder, like, how much do we affect, not, you know, I mean, we have us from the ground up. There's, you know.
People hang on my words. I know that.
But you know what I mean? You, like, you start to talk about a species. And
so I don't tell you people what I'm up to anymore. It's like.
And then, you know, it just becomes like, oh, wow, what are they talking about? And then you check it out, and then you're down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, you definitely, you influence that market, you know, and you influence whether or not it's trending at the time. And it's going to go in a cyclical wave up and down one way or the other. But, yeah, the hype about it and what's going on in the community definitely influences it. And I'm very convinced that as soon as people started learning about indigos and they're like, oh, but I can't afford a $1,200 snake, I'm going to go get the next best all black snake. And people started calling MBKs the poor man's indigos. And
they went from indigos to black pines. Black pines got listed. So then they went to MBKs. It's their need to have an indigo, but not want to have to deal with indigo shit. So, you know, it's they went down. You know, listen, I have the Kribo because I can't have Eastern indigos. I would love Eastern indigos. I'm not equipped for Eastern indigos. I also live in Pennsylvania where, you know, there are two mortal sins. One is owning a sugar glider. The other is touching an Eastern indigo. And
wait, you
know,
that's the one thing you can't own in Pennsylvania is an Eastern indigo?
You can own them in Pennsylvania.
Right.
But they have to be gifted to you from someone. And they have to be proven that they were bred in captivity. But it's one of those things where I've heard horror stories of fishing game, finding out you have Eastern indigos, and then taking all your shit until you can prove that the Eastern indigos were, you know, not collected. And
so we can't even do like a permit.
You probably could. But I don't even look into this kind of stuff just because, I mean, I had one guy I knew who had Eastern indigos for the longest time, got caught up in something where he had more than the legal amount of copperheads in his house, which is one per person in Pennsylvania, in case, you know, you were wondering.
One per person. Okay.
One per person. Yeah. And then they ended up confiscating all his animals and he had to go through a bunch of hoops and stuff like that to get his indigos back. And by the time he got them back, I think one or two of them had passed. So I don't even mess around with them. I would love to, but not even going to touch it. And the weird thing is that we don't have any of those restrictions on Texas indigos.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas doesn't have any of the restrictions on Eastern indigos. So it's kind of like a trade-off. I can get Texas indigos, but there's some guy in Texas who can get Easterns, and we both want each other's indigos. And that's how it goes. So.
Gotcha. Well, they're cool too, right? I mean,
yeah, but they're not.
Yeah,
they're not the. They're not the same.
They're not the Easterns.
They're not the ones I want.
It's like imbricata. It's not imbricata.
It's not imbricata.
Damn.
These Brisbans have ruined me. I'm like, you are nice coastal, but you're not a Brisbane. And it's also, I hope you know that I will call my shot now. I am teetering on the edge of the rabbit hole of locality specific coastals. Like, I just need another nudge, and then it's,
well, holy shit,
Port Douglas,
man.
Rock
it only
Hampton.
Took 9 years. I mean,
yeah, well, I'm looking at these jungles. I'm like, get out of here, you dirty black and yellow things. Like, you know, I don't need you.
Coastals, man, they're cool. I'm telling you, the gelatins, like, dude, I was blown away. I'm blown away by these things. Like,
soon
I've hatched some crazy freaking morph shit, and these have, like, just blown me away. I'm just, I don't know if it's because I found them in the wild that it adds something to it or what. Not the ones I bred. Just throwing it out there.
Illegally. Oh, no. I hope that's not a case because we're going to Darwin.
Yeah.
And if I find a Darwin in the wild and then become home obsessed with Darwins, I want you to hit me. You know, don't let me do it.
I don't know, man. It may happen.
I think we're just going to let you do it, Owen.
Yeah. No, you're not supposed to let me do that. So you're supposed to stop me.
He's going to come back and be a monitor guy. He's going to sell all his snakes and be a monitor guy. After
I want nothing but Ackies.
Acanthuris, you know, Pilbara Rock Lacy. Monitor, Lacy's.
I'll get me a Lacy. Let me get a tiger striped crocodile monitor, because that sounds like a good idea.
No. Oh dear. Okay, so, you know, did you see? I know this is a weird snake that I know nothing about, but I saw a video of it on some snake show I was watching, but it was the flying snake.
Yes.
And I know what's his name had some of them, right?
Snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, they're cool looking. What's the deal
with that?
They're gorgeous. Yeah, they're beautiful. They're super active diurnal colubrids. You can give them nice big planted vivariums. You know, that's another species that, like you were talking about last week, setting something up cool for an animal that you can observe and watch.
Yeah.
Those things are sweet.
Yeah,
and Dan doesn't get them in all the time, but he's usually good for a couple of years, and he's even had the twin bar species. I think it's a full species different, where they look almost the same, but think of two little dorsal bars sequentially going across their back, like dorsal bands, but it's just on the dorsal. Area, and it doesn't go down the flanks, and just little red dashes across the whole thing. They're beautiful. They're not big. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're kind of good with eating whatever, and, you know, being a Southeast Asian species, keeping like a lot of those other colubrids not too hot, low 80s ambient, and they can take a little bit of cooler temps and some humidity. Yeah, they're really cool.
Dude, they're going to be perfect in my cool room. Nice.
If we Brandon Wheelered one off of Eric's roof, would it fly?
That's Carbifest 2020.
I'm just asking. I'm
try it.
I would never.
Put when you witty son of a bitch.
I would not put an animal in such danger. I'm asking for a friend, but you know, it's.
We got to do this now.
See, the problem is we'd do it and it would be like, and like over,
<It's> gone.
gone, like into Eric's neighbor's yards. And we'd be like, shit, like, you know,
damn
that
it.
Would just be crap, we have to go get it now.
Oh, it's like, oh god, oh, that was good. there's burking the clutch and wheelering off the roof.
Oh, it's so good.
Every time a snake falls off of a perch now, I'm like, you pull the wheeler. It's like just plummets.
Oh, man.
Damn it, Brandon.
Damn it, Brandon.
Oh, that's awesome. There was a lot of controversy with the whole, I didn't really follow the whole thing, but I guess people were upset at the price of the Bolens python.
Yeah.
They thought it was overpriced.
$750. Like,
Yeah,
but why are people all freaking out about that? Because that kind of almost seems like that's par for the course when it comes to bull and eye.
I mean, as a 2-year-old female, babies are going for, you know, as much as four when they're available. And I'm sure you can, you know, find the buddy price of even less. But for a 2-year-old female, and there isn't really a market designed for them. Like, there isn't any sort of guidelines for what you can price them. Price them whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at it this way: if you're getting a lone female bull and eye, and you're not expecting to spend close to $10,000, what are you doing? Because that's it. Almost seems like you're not looking for the correct animal. Because you're right, sure. Babies are four. If you're pissed off that the 2-year-old female is near $10,000, buy a baby at four. If you are pissed off because then you have to raise a baby, what are you doing? Because it just seems like there's no pleasing you, and you want an adult female bull and eye for $2,000. And that's ridiculous.
People just feel the need to be pissed off at something on a daily basis. It's part of their identity. It's just ridiculous.
It's pretty true.
Admire the pretty snake and shut up. If you're not buying it, shut up.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
exactly.
And this thing is like, this is the reptile community. I'm trying to sell the two black PVC cages that I built that my olives were in before the wood cages. And I don't like listing them on classified sites, because then I get somebody in Nevada going like, do you ship? No. Like, you know, of course I don't. Not these things. Shut up. So I try to do it locally. And now all I keep getting are people who are like, you know, how much? And I say, I'm like, oh, well, it's about this much. And they're like, too much. I'm like, then go away. The prices are listed on the thing. Get out of here. So it's people want people want the best quality for the least amount of money. And when it comes to reptile stuff, that sometimes is never going to be the way to do it. So.
Sure.
Yeah. I have to, I would be upset if I did not give a shout out to Rob Stone for producing, a litter, I guess you would say, since we're talking boas.
It is a litter.
Candoia bibrani australis, which is the Solomon Island tree boa, which I think, and me and Rob were talking about this, there was only one other person in the U.S. that produced them.
Right.
But none of them made it to adulthood. So if Rob was able to, you know, get these going, which I have no doubts that he will be able to, you're looking at the first captive born and bred babies available in the U.S. for sale.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody's going to give a shit. Nobody's going to care.
Because they're going to be like, are they the white ones? No. What? Just.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So. Yeah,
Dan had some import Australis there. He also had the ground boas too. He had some grabbing females, but yeah, I mean, he had some lizard feeders and some that are taking rodents, and they're a couple $100 a piece. And I mean, they're gorgeous snakes. They should definitely be, you know, valued higher in my opinion, but everybody sees them when they come in as, you know, imports in their jungle clothes, they're, you know, their dirty skin, and they're just like, man, whatever. And they don't know anything about it. And they're like, oh, these things occasionally eat lizards. I don't want to deal with that. Where's the ball pythons at, you know? And then that's the end of it.
Right.
Dude.
But, those are sweet snakes.
Yeah.
I put so much stock in my younger years, too, that it must eat European white rodent, frozen thawed, held at a 90-degree angle, heated to a perfect temperature, otherwise I won't buy it. It's like that I'm so glad I broke free of that, because it's eating. I don't care what it eats. I can supply it with food. I have several live feeders, and back then that would have knocked me sideways. But now I'm like, hey, you guys will eat when I get to a reptile show and I can get you some live feeders. I'm just going to buy a couple. You'll eat four mice and then I'll leave you alone for a month and a half. And it works. And it's really actually good for them anyway, because that's more akin to what they would probably naturally do. So
sure,
it's like people put way too much stock in the fact that it might not eat something that is – I wouldn't even want to say readily available, because I think there's more stuff now that is more readily available, especially with the scents that you can get from places like Reptolinx. I mean, dude, I got a buddy right now who he's a science teacher, and they were doing a thing over the summer where they were hatching turkey eggs. Mm-hmm. And he called me and he's like, hey, I'm going to have like a bunch of like 3-week old turkeys that I'm going to, you know, make not living. Do you want them for your snakes? I'm like, yes, please. Like, I'm you kidding me? I don't care. Like, it's a bird the size of a large rat. Hell yes, I'm going to take that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, man.
Yeah, there was a guy at the show that was selling like 3 different species of feeder grasshoppers. where do you see that ever? That's brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah,
they were mesmerizing to look at.
Wow, dude, that's crazy.
What, dude, whatever works, you know. I'm sitting here and I fed my Crebo yesterday, and you know, they were down in tilapia fillets, and I'm like, I love this. It's so much easier. It's so much easier.
Now that's a cool snake, man. Those snakes are cool.
You're gonna have to jump on that boat there, Eric, and I would recommend that you start with the Mexican indigo, because Riley and I both need Mexican indigos and we can't afford them. So I would say that you should buy the Mexican indigos.
Go with the Mexican indigo. Okay.
Yeah, do that. Breed them and then hook some brothers up is what I'm saying. So yeah.
Okay.
Also, you should probably buy some hypo tigers, because I would like them too, please. I have a list. I have a list.
A list of what I should buy.
The list of what you should buy and build projects around so that I can reap the benefits of later.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You might want to catch me on this groove because I'm kind of in the Kribos. I mean, what kind of size cage do you have yours in, Riley? 4 foot?
I've got my big boy in a 6 footer. Big guy's in a 6 footer. My female's looking at me right now. She's in a 4 foot cage. It's pretty spacious for her. And I know some folks that keep them in boa tubs successfully.
I would want to see those things.
Yeah. I mean, I know you can do it, but
that would be.
Yeah. No, it's tons of fun watching them cruise around and like burrow around and dug holes in the dirt looking for food, and then poking their head up with a pile of dirt on top of their head when you walk in the room to see what you're about. They're just too much fun.
Put the food plate down quickly and then get the hell back.
Walk away.
Oh, it's one of those situations.
Do not sit there.
One to hold on.
Exactly. Put something in their mouth and then do stuff. It's like,
and then drop the rest and run.
Yeah, dude. It's I have three cages coming that are, they're 4 feet, but they're, I think, like 2 foot deep, 2 foot tall. They're big cages coming, and that's where I'm going to put my female Kribo and my female Blue Beauty snake, so that all three of them can kind of get big and hang out. And it's got a lot of room for vertical stuff as well as room for dirt and things like that. So it's really going to be nice. And then my male Kribo and my male Beauty are both going to be in these 4x2s that I have. So, you know, but they're, don't grab them thinking that they're going to be fine in like a 41 quart. It's like,
No. Because they're very, very active, high metabolism, that kind of deal.
Yeah, right? I mean, if I fed any other snake what I feed them, how much I feed them, it's like, you guys see that boa that was running around Facebook that had like fat rolls on fat rolls on fat rolls, like going all the way down it? And it's like, this 3-year-old was fed every 3 days. Like, dear God.
Oh my gosh.
Dude,
yeah.
Speaking of which, I saw the world's fattest spotted python this weekend.
Oh dear.
I have
spotted?
A spotted python. This breeder was feeding this friggin' thing small rats.
Oh.
And it's bigger than my proven breeder female poplin carpet.
All right.
Oh,
story,
Jesus.
Story time with Owen. I broke a pair of granite spotteds once because I fed them to the point where I was probably feeding them small rats, and they were.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah. It was.
I do.
I never got them to breed for obvious fucking reasons.
Right. So, right.
I eventually gave up and sold them. And then I got another pair of spotted pythons as adults. And these are just normal spotteds. And they came in and I'm like, wow, they're tiny. And then I'm like, oh God, I broke those animals. It's like, that's so, yep. I avoid
some people overfeed retic to the point where their neck is like as wide as their head.
Yes, there should be a
that was like this.
Yeah, but you know what's a worse offender for that is white lips. People overfeed white lips. They're supposed to be a defining head shape that almost looks kind of like a peanut. Like, they're supposed to be a rounded head and then their neck, and sometimes it just looks like a tube.
Yeah. The thing was fat, man. It was really, really fat.
Wow.
Gross.
Yeah.
Did anybody yell at the guy and say, like, what are you doing, man?
he put it in the freaking U.S. Ark auction. And Phil, the U.S. Ark president, pulls it out, and he's like, this has to be the fattest world's record spotted python. He's
all, oh, my
he's
God.
He's making jokes. It might be gravid still. This thing is monstrous. And then I actually know the gal who purchased it. And she knew it was fat. She bought it just because she felt bad for it, and she likes spotted pythons. And so she's sitting at the booth with us, and she pulls it out of the bag and letting it get exercise. And it, like, perches up on the chair and takes a nap. It's, like, exhausted from climbing out of the bag.
breathing heavy.
You know when you see an overfed retic and it's like its back is indented on the top and the sides like pudge out, and then you see like the muscle walls rippling in and out on fat rolls? It was that. It was disgusting.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And that's something else, another lesson. Less is more. I prefer to have a – I think I took a snake to one of those shows, and somebody's like, your corn snake's thin. I'm like, no. Just every other corn snake you've seen in the world is fat. Like, you know, this is actually a healthy male. He's good. And so, right. You know, it's – whatever, man.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, it seems like we got this going and it works. Hopefully the recording is pretty good. So we'll have no surprises tomorrow.
Oh, no. Now, why'd you say that? Why did you do that? Why did you not just say everything's cool and then stop? Now you're like, there'll be no surprises tomorrow. Tomorrow, during the surprises, I'm going to bring this up.
Hopefully, so. It'll be a surprise. Well, maybe the surprise will be that I don't show up because I got bitten by a copperhead or something like that.
No. If you do, we're conducting the interview on you, hospital bedside. Like, I'll bring my laptop. So, Eric, how much of an asshole do you feel like right now? So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So
better be careful. And what's going to happen is he's going to try and run tomorrow's show, and it's going to glitch, and it's just going to be the camera facing you, and that's all everyone's going to see.
That's why there's no cameras, Riley.
I'm going to just start recording it without him knowing.
I'll see it, and I'll just start, I'll start being off camera, and I'll have like a cardboard cutout, like standing here looking at.
Hey, man, I don't care.
Yeah. All right.
It was funny. I was talking to Jeff just to make sure tomorrow's good to go. And he's like, so do you do the video thing? And I was like, no, man, not at this point. We don't do the video thing. But, you know, who knows? Who knows in the future? But right now, no.
Yeah, if it can be done.
If we start doing video things, I will require formal dress wear for the anniversary shows where you and I literally have to be in tuxedos.
In tuxes? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of you, Owen, as more of the guy wearing the tux shirt. You know what I mean?
I mean, why not? It's classy. Yeah.
I see you having a nice glass of champagne and a pipe. You're not a cigar guy. You're a pipe guy.
It's like a Sherlock Holmes kind of pipe where it like dips down real hard. Yeah, exactly.
Or you could be wearing a kilt, right?
Oh, yeah. And when
you walk in to sit in your chair, we can just play the bagpipes.
That's only flattering if I'm standing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Here comes Owen. We'll play.
Sweet.
What's that band? What the hell's that band? Oh, shit.
Dropkick Murphys?
Yeah, that's it. We'll play some Dropkick Murphys.
Guy,
like they're that far from Scotland.
It matters.
Oh, geez. God forbid. Is that what you think of us Irish people, Owen? Is this how you roll?
Dirty. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
The only people I, you know, was worse is the English, but that, you know, we won't get into that because then the guys from Reptile and Chill won't talk to me.
Reptile and Chill guys, I apologize. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. I'm married to this dude for this many years. I'm kind of stuck in this relationship. You know,
I mean,
we've created too many children. And it's just like, I'm just staying together for the sake of the kids.
We can't argue in front of Riley. Not in front of Riley.
Off with his head.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess.
We've killed the show anyway. So.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Yeah. No, it works. And the audio is really good.
Yeah, I got a lot of good compliments about it. What about you, Owen? Did you?
I feel kind of bad that it's just like everybody's like, this is it, finally. And I'm like, oh, we probably should have done this way sooner. It's like that was. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
yeah. Give them everything right off the bat. You gotta keep them.
Yeah, they'd leave us for Port City Pythons too quickly. So,
Oh man, that's
yeah.
No, I think we figured out how to be able to keep Blog Talk and not lose the archive and do a more professional sound and podcast. So it took a while, whereas other people can just do it and they don't have to worry about it. But we have like, what, 7 years of, what is it? I don't even know. We got tons of footage in the, or stuff in the archives audio. That we didn't want to lose, you know, so.
It's 7 years worth of, on average, one show a week. So, I mean, there's like, what, 400 something episodes there that we don't want to lose. So we're going to keep the blog talk thing. This seems to be working out well. Yeah.
Yeah. So
far, so good. Just keep rocking it.
So yeah. We got Jeff. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then the following week, just to throw out a little teaser, we got Warren Booth coming back on, but this time we're going to be talking about his boas, and that's, I know how much you love that, Owen. So.
Well, yeah, and also I'm pretty sure Warren's going to tease me over all the roughy stuff that happened today that's causing me to twitch.
I'm not even going to talk about it.
Thank you. I don't want
to. Dead to me.
Dead to me.
It's, good Lord. And the crazy thing is,
all I saw was an expensive Crebo food.
Yeah,
it's not even that expensive. No.
The crazy thing is, though, okay, is that he said it was like 4 years old or something, right?
It's an adult male. It looks bigger than my male rough scale, and it's just like, I don't. You took a jungle diamond.
Don't do it.
No, it's. Why?
Who is this guy anyway?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Who knows?
This is, but here, that's one of them. Where are the rest? Are you telling me one egg survived? Bullshit. Where are the rest? Where are they? What is happening?
Fuck.
They're in your collection, bro.
No.
Oh no. You went there.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody takes that one, breeds it to a female rough scale? What would the babies look like? How many generations do you got to get in before it looks just like a really dark or black rough scale?
I got to be honest, man. When I saw it, I thought it was a rough scale. I didn't even think twice about it.
This,
I was like,
this
rough
is
scale.
Reminiscent of me bringing you over to the table and being like, what do you think of this carpet? And you're like, it's cool. It's nice. I'm like, it's a jaglot. And you're like, what the hell?
Die, you evil serpent.
Yeah. It went from, that's a nice looking carpet, to burn it so quickly in Eric's mind.
Yeah.
If
there ever was justification for making counterfeit money to do something with, it would be just so you can make enough counterfeit money to buy that shit and burn it at the stake.
I like the way you think, man.
Part of me is like, that's the problem is I'm sitting here, I'm like, $170, like, I should just buy it, and this way no one else can use it. It's like, here, stay in this cage. I will give you rats every once in a while. Just don't breed with anything. Just don't touch anybody. It's like, yeah.
Oh man.
And then 5 years later, Owen's known as the Hybrid Morph Project.
Yeah, that's how I become that
the
guy.
The guy who breeds battle chondros.
The scream line battle chondros, yep.
Oh god.
Oh my god.
Oh, you
maybe it's been my dream.
Maybe you can call it the complete carpet python, and every single python that was in the complete book, including the Ruffy, just mix it all together.
Oh god.
And on that note, we will leave you this evening, and we hope you
run away.
We hope you enjoy it.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
So all
right, beautiful. All right.
Yeah. All right. That was a good one. I like it. Well-